Tonight I want to talk to you about something that nobody wants to talk about. As a matter of fact, it's one of the probably the most hardest issue for Christians today. And you know, Paul so far in the book of Ephesians has gone through and described a bunch of things. Paul consistently opens up and talks about sin. Doesn't have an issue with that. Matter of fact, more times he talks about it, people are probably okay with that. They know and understand that there are sin issues. However, what we get to tonight is fighting words. Matter of fact, it's not just fighting words. It has caused a tremendous amount of problems, not only in churches, but also in relationships, because it is about relationships. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about submission. And so tonight we're going to talk about submission a little bit. Matter of fact, from this point until part of the sixth chapter, he deals with nothing but submission. And it's absolutely opposite of our nature. Our nature says, I'm important. Our society today teaches people that we're important. Matter of fact, if anything, I think and I sense that our society is moving more and more towards the independent person is more important than the whole, where before it was always the whole was more important than the independent person. We're more worried today about what we might say, and we because of the PC police, and we're more cautious about what we do, we're more cautious about the actions we have because of lawsuits and a lot of other things that go out there. And because of that, people are really shy, and they shy away from things. Pastors today shy away from teaching and preaching on these important facts for the simple fact as they know they're going to lose some people and some people are going to get mad, especially when you talk about submission. And, of course, tonight the very first person we talk about is wives. So with that, we will go ahead and get started. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse number 21. We're just going to read four verses, 21 through 24. So if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians 5, 21 through 24. Submitting yourselves, therefore, one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. Father, we come before you tonight, and we just want to thank you for the writings of Paul. We thank you, Lord, for his clear, concise approach, his methodology in his writing. And Father, we know that there are some things just hard for us to swallow, and submission is always one of those. Father, I pray that you'll help us to understand tonight this beginning of this passage, what Paul is trying to get us to understand. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be present in all of us tonight as we study. Let him be full and let him open up our minds and hearts so that we can take in what you'd have us to understand tonight. Father, I'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As we study the book, we've learned that the first three chapters, Paul has done nothing but submit to us the importance of doctrine. And I'll tell you, there are very few things in my Christian life that I feel are more important than doctrine. Now, let me say that one more time. There's very few things in my Christian life that I consider more important than doctrine. I consider doctrine and the truth of doctrine more important than prayer. I consider doctrine and the truth of doctrine more important than reading my scriptures. And you say, well, Bob, isn't that kind of, I mean, are you really telling us the truth? And yeah, I really am. Because without doctrine means, again, teaching. Without understanding the teaching that God would have us to do, I don't know how to pray. Without understanding the teaching that he would have us to do, I don't know how to live a life. I don't understand those things. Doctrine is so important today, and that's why I get really kind of rolled up my sleeves and ready to go into a big old doctrinal fight when I hear people taking the scriptures and just misinterpreting those scriptures. And I will tell you today that this particular passage has been mistaught by so many folks, and I got to be honest with you, mistaught in the wrong way, and normally it's by arrogant people who want to have their way, and so therefore they want you to submit, but they don't want to submit. So this first passage that we read here, I think, is really key. So if you write in your Bibles, I would say that these four verses actually, are key to understanding the rest of this passage that Paul is going to be speaking to us about. The first half has been on doctrine, and now he's trying to teach us how to live. And in our last study, as we looked at the previous verses, he was teaching us how to make sure that we were full of the Spirit. And that if we're going to be full of the Spirit, then he takes that on now to the next line. And the next line is, if we're going to be full of the Spirit, that means we should follow the leading of the Spirit. We should follow the teaching of the Spirit. And in this particular case, he said, if you're going to follow that, then you must be submissive. Now, I think it's important for us all to realize that when Jesus came down to this earth, he was totally submissive. So I don't know why Christians today think they can get around that. I don't know why we think we can bypass that. I don't know why we think that it doesn't appear to me and doesn't come to me. And I'm not held under, if you will, the thumb of it. The truth of the matter is submission is alive and well and should be. We all have to submit. Jesus submitted to the Father when the Father sent him down to this earth. He left the glory of heaven and came down to this earth. And why did he do that? Because he was submissive to the Father. In all the things that Jesus did, he says, I am doing the will of my Father. He put himself in a submissive place. And in this, we also should understand that because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, it, positionally, that's where we are. If, in fact, we're positionally there, then we also need to be submissive to God's will. But we also need to be submissive to others as well. And that's where we pick this up, this particular point. He focuses on the duty of the believer in this particular section. In all the chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6, he's really focusing on our duty. That's another word we don't like very much. We don't like to be told what to do. Matter of fact, I have this little thing with Linda, and whenever she corrects me, I said, don't correct me, you know I don't like it. And she just laughs, you know, she just kind of giggles, and anyhow, but I tell it to her all the time. And one of these days, I'm going to win. I know I am, but anyhow, we don't like to be told what to do. No, I mean, nobody really likes that. I know there's all these folks that tell you that, you know, criticism is always good. It helps to build you up. I don't like it. Do you like it? I don't think anybody really likes criticism. Now, can we later learn from it? Of course we can. But boy, when that sting of criticism hits you, it's really hard. Well, as we look at this particular passage, I'm going to read quite a bit out of the book. If you have the book, if not, great. You're just going to think I'm espousing up here. The issues that the church is having, he's trying to make sure that they don't have further issues. And I want to tell you, today in churches, if we're not following God's leadership, we're not submitting to God's leadership. And if we're not submitting to God's leadership, then our church is not going to go very far. Pause. We had a lot of visitors today. I hope everybody had the chance to meet a lot of them, but we had a lot of visitors. We had some visitors who've been here a couple of times. I went over to Bill's class, you know, because he's down in the dungeon now, and so I went over to the dungeon, and you know, his class was almost full. I know Chris had quite a few in his class. As we continue to proclaim God's word, God is going to be, he's going to repay that. As we're being honest and we submit to him, he's going to repay that. And boy, today was a great day. And by the way, nice message. Linda said, boy, glad we're not in a position to Job. And just a minute ago, David said exactly the same thing. You know, when you think things are really going bad, man, just go to the first couple of chapters there of Job, and we don't have it too bad at all. The issues include, and that Paul teaches about here, are not only just personal issues, but it's also corporal issues. And I think that's another place where the churches today mess up. They don't understand that there are corporal church sins. We can get so busy doing things that we forget what in the world we should be doing it for. This morning in our Sunday school class, in Eddie's Sunday school class, we had a pretty good discussion on social gospel. And by the way, I just want to make sure that everybody understands here, I'm totally opposed to the social gospel. I am totally for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think churches today, if we will stick to what God has told us to do, we will grow because God will repay the work that we're doing because we are being submissive to him. We can do a lot of things, but if we do it in the name of the church, or if we do it because we think it's the right thing to do, that's okay. Go ahead and do that. But the important part here is God didn't leave us to do X, Y, Z. He led us to do preach and teach the gospel, baptize, disciple. That's what he wants us to do. So if we'll keep that main thing the main thing, then I will tell you all these other things will just kind of settle in, and our church will continue to grow. So the corporal sins, I think we need to really understand. God doesn't like those very well. Israel consistently had corporate sins. They would sin as a people. God would judge them, therefore, and so therefore they weren't being submissive to God. God judged them. We also know that God judged the whole nation Israel for one man, Achan, if you'll remember that whole story. So Achan steals the wrong stuff. And I think that's a hilarious point in here because he steals a Babylonian garment. Now, where in the world is he going to wear that? And who's he going to sell it to? I mean, it's ridiculous what he did. However, because of one man's sin and he wouldn't confess that sin, guess what? The whole nation Israel then had troubles. So we need to understand that it's important that we, as a body of believers, we understand that there are corporate sins as well, and Paul is consistently teaching this. I find that this book is not necessarily a book of do nots, but it's more of a book of do's. As I read through this whole book of Ephesians, I find more and more he's more telling us what we should do rather than what we shouldn't do. He lists sins, but he's telling us how to live our life and consistently. The remaining section of this whole section, if you will, this fifth chapter and into the sixth chapter then, really leads us to one thing. It focuses on the family, our relationships in the family, our relationships with one another, our relationships with our bosses. Those are all key points. And I think if we would finally understand where to be submissive in every avenue of our life, then I think it'd be much easier for us. Instead of running up and saying, we're number one, I'm the most important person here, going against the grain of what the world is teaching today, if we would be more submissive unto the will of the Holy Spirit and unto the will of God, we would find ourselves growing immensely. And not only in our spirit, but also we would find ourselves growing in our body. I find it interesting that the New Testament church, what did they do daily? They studied together, they prayed together, they went out and witnessed together, and the church grew daily. Now, that's a really key point. So that's what they were doing together. Let's don't get caught up in all these things that are ancillary, but let's make sure that we really focus on the important things, and that's where he's really trying to get us to there. If I really understood the whole thing of being husband and wife, I would understand this one key point. God never, ever intended that a husband and a wife would be the same sex. Are we mevoing this? Are you taping this? What do you say? It's being recorded? Okay, good. I'll say it again. God never intended for a same-sex marriage. And I'm proud to say that. I won't hide behind that. God created man and woman. He created them that way. And he brought them together. And he says, together you will join together. You will join together and you'll be one. That's really a key thing. Genesis 1, 27 through 28. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he and him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And chapter 2 and verse 18, and Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. In chapter number 2 and verses 21 through 25, and the Lord God caused deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she had been taken from man. Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they shall be both and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. When we're living under God's submissive rule, when we're doing exactly what God has for us, we will not be ashamed of the work that we do. We won't be. As we go out and we witness, as we knock on doors, as we talk to people, now, those that are having a difficult time, as we're doing what the Holy Spirit teaches us and prompts us to do, as we are following through with that, we will never be ashamed of that. But God will also bring to us those things that we shouldn't be. Marriage is under attack today like no other thing. Why do you think that is? That's a question for you. Why do you think marriage is under such an attack today? What'd you say, Phil? Foundation of our society, okay? Say that again?
God's
It's God's plan, okay? Anyone else? People want what they want, okay? Okay. Satan hates anything God has ordained. Are we all in agreement with that? Okay. What did he ordain? Marriage. And how did he ordain marriage? One man, one woman. That's what he ordained. And marriage was to replenish the earth. What that meant was we're to have children. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the whole part of that. Same sex will not produce children. If there's no other reason for it, same sex will not produce children. We're under attack. God set this organization of the family in place, and Satan knows it. So what does Satan do? He attacks the very thing that God loves. And as he attacks that, then we find more and more issues. In early 50s and 60s, it was divorce. Divorce was the big thing, and so therefore Satan was active and alive, and there was a lot of things that were going on with divorce. Well, you know, that kind of just didn't have the nip of it anymore. So what did he do? He brought in homosexuality. And because of this, today, we have people who are so confused. We are sitting on the Seine River, where my son-in-law and I, and anyhow, we looked up, and here was two men, and they had a baby with them, and they were holding hands, and you know, and I thought, that is an aberration according to what God had put in place. But society today, in our youth, they have been so taught this that it's accepted among them now. It's just a natural exception. Exception, not an exception. Anyway, God doesn't want that. There's no part of that God has a desire for. So therefore, it's important for us to understand that he set up marriage. Satan hates God's plan. Satan hates marriage. Now, that's just a simple way of looking at this. No wonder then our marriages today, God is trying to bless and Satan's trying to attack in every way he can. So Paul then says, okay, if marriage is really a big deal, I can see the Holy Spirit leading him here. If we're going to talk about having great duty toward the Lord, if we're going to talk about our role to God and our role to man, let's start with the very first thing he started with in Genesis chapter 2, and that is, let's start with man and woman, and that's exactly where we begin. Satan's anger is against anything that God holds dear. You have to understand that. All you got to do is be married and know that. Why do we have fights when we love the person that we married? Why does that happen? I can tell you why. We want our way. The other person wants their way. Satan doesn't want it anyway. So it's really difficult. No wonder the family is under such a tax today. Well, I really like this article that was on Focus on the Family. I think you all are pretty familiar with that, but I'm going to read this article. It says, family is the fundamental building block of all human civilizations. And marriage is the foundation of the family. The institution of marriage is unquestionably good for individuals and society, and the health of our culture is immediately linked to the health of a well-being of a marriage. Unfortunately, the standard of lifelong tradition in marriage is the foundation of family life in our nation, and it is under attack. Now, that was many, many years ago that he said that. In the family, the woman really is the one who transforms the house into a home. Men don't normally do that, but the wife does that. It's something that you know God has placed, and I will tell you that I've always looked at Linda as the person who's responsible for all the things that I don't do so well. And there's a lot of those. But she is a help meet for me. God knew exactly what I needed. Here she is, and she takes care of all those things, and that was the plan of God. The real purpose of submission, then, we find here in the very first verse. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, so the first thing he starts off with is not marriage. He doesn't start off with wife. He doesn't start off with man. What he starts off with is saying, you and I need to be submissive to each other. Now, if I'm submissive into a relationship, then what that really means is I'm going to be so concerned about the other person in this relationship that I don't matter as much anymore. My opinion doesn't matter as much anymore. Where do we really see this in Baptist life? Business meetings. And we don't see submission. What we really see is, I think. Now, all I'm saying is this. Many times we get into the position where we think our opinion is the most important. And what he's saying here is, let's be submissive one to another. Now, is that easy to do? Oh, I would say no, it's not easy to do at all. But we are to be submissive one toward another. For example, when Bob and I, we meet every day almost. We have a lot of things that we talk about, a lot of things we go over. But when Bob and I meet, I go in and sit on his nice couch. Now, he's got a nice couch in there, I'm telling you. It is comfortable. But anyhow, I go in there and sit on the couch, and we talk to each other about things that are going on. We plan next week's service. We talk about those kind of things. What kind of music? What's the sermon going to be about? So we start talking about those kind of things. We talk about a lot of things. And it would be very difficult if Bob would say, you know, thanks, Pastor, but I got this. This is my role. This is my job. I got this. It would also be hard if I said, Bob, this is the music I want, and I want that music. And, so play that music. Neither one of us are being very submissive in that place. We're really being submissive is we're being submissive to the Holy Spirit. And we say, okay, here's what I've got going. What do you think? And he says, well, what about this? I've talked about this music, that type of thing. And next thing I know is then we're done with that meeting, and now we're starting to allow the Holy Spirit to work. And next thing I know, pops up a little email, and he says, these are the songs we're going to do. I look over the songs and say, yes, 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 yes. All those are going to match up with the sermon. There are many places where if we're submissive one towards another, if we really have our other person the best at heart, then we're going to find that our relationships will grow. So no wonder he starts out and says, we need to be submissive one to another. And I got to tell you, that is not an easy thing to do, especially in today's society. Just not an easy thing to do. Therefore, he says, be submissive one to another. This verse really translates, is a translation of what he was talking about in the previous section. He's continuing his thought on things that are wise and things that will, things also that are unwise. And he's comparing a submission to something that is wise. One of the things that I did right after I first got here was I talked to a group of men to be my, if you will, my iron on iron. I could sit down together with them and we could have a discussion about issues. And so far, I've only had to have one discussion with them, which was really kind of a wonderful thing. Now, this is not about the church. This is about my life personally or the direction that we're going. And so for me, that is really something great to have because it's biblical. It says there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. So therefore, if I would be submissive then to this group, and I brought this group in so that I can be submissive to the group, then it helps me to understand better what my role is. Because sometimes we can get just a little bit disjointed. Pastors live in a totally different world. I will just tell you that. And there's lots of things coming at them from right and left. There's just lots of things. For example, today, 7 times I was approached about things today that are not dealing with things that are happening right here. Just 7 deals. So I'm not telling you that for any other reason, just so that you understand that if I'm going to be submissive to the Holy Spirit and if I'm going to be submissive to this church, then I need an outlet. I need somebody to talk to and say, okay, you know, what should I do about this? Same thing can happen to each one of us. I think it's wise for us to have somebody that we can confide in. I think it's absolutely wise. Solomon said it, and I think it's a wonderful thing. Our horizontal relationships can only be as good as our vertical relationship with God. Now, if I'm to understand submission one to another, I can't have really good submission to you if I'm not really being submissive to God. If my role is such that to God I'm closing off the doors, if you will, and I really don't want to be submissive to what God is teaching me or God is showing me, then my horizontal relationship then with others will never be very good. But the better my vertical relationship is with the Lord, then the better opportunities and the better chances I have then of my horizontal relationships being submissive as well. It's not an easy thing to be submissive. No wonder he starts out this way. Therefore, submit yourselves one to another. In this particular passage, for example, 22-6:9, that's where we're actually going to be going, Paul will clarify the submission should resemble the Christian family concerning, one, wives and husbands, children and parents, and finally between slaves and masters. A parallel of this is found in Colossians. So Colossians, remember we've talked about this, Colossians and the book of Ephesians were probably written about the same time, had the same general tenor. It's almost like having the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You can go to those and read, and they basically have the same tenor. There's little differences, and so is this, there's little differences in the book of Colossians as well. So what is the term, if you will, submission? What in the world does it really mean? Well, what it means is to line up under. That's the whole idea of it. And basically, it has the idea, if you will, of military order. There's a general, and then there's lieutenants underneath that, and then there's a sergeant, and then there's all the people who do all the work. It's to line up under. Now, if everybody does their job, then you can be victorious. When the children of Israel entered into the land, and they did exactly as God asked them to do, even if it was crazy, oh yeah, by the way, I want you to just march around the city and blow a trumpet. By the way, I want you to do it 2 days in a row. Oh, let's try it one more time. That's not what soldiers are for. I mean, that's not it. So they continue to march around. And then he said, oh, by the way, on the seventh day, we're going to do it seven times. Now, they had to be submissive to the Lord in order to win. When they weren't submissive to the Lord, they lost. When they were submissive to the Lord, they won. Even if it sounds crazy, go dip yourself in the river seven times. What? I have this disease. Yeah, just go dip yourself in the river seven times. There are things that God asks us to do that are outside our norm, outside what we think it ought to be. But when we're submissive, then we win victories. When we're submissive, then we get healed. When we're submissive, these things happen. No wonder he starts out again saying, okay, we need to be submissive. Matthew 5:5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Mark 9:35, and he sat down and called his 12 unto them, and he said, if any man desires to be first, the same shall be last and servant of all. Peter even says, submit yourselves one to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to as a king or as a supreme. And 1 Peter 5:5, he says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Over and over, we have this thing of being submissive, 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 and we don't like that taught to us. I don't like it being taught to me, I'll be honest with you. But I understand that when I am closest to the Lord is when I am being more submissive to him than at any other time. No wonder then he says here, that Jesus says, hey, you want to be first? Well, be last. And be the steward, be the servant of others. Then you'll be first. That's absolutely opposite of what we want to do. That's absolutely opposite of the world system. Submission, the importance of it. Jesus just did talk about submission. His whole life really exhibited it. Would we agree with that? I mean, you remember the time, probably his last night, when he wrapped a towel around himself and he started washing the feet of the disciples? And the reason this was so weird is because normally a slave or a servant in the household would wash the feet of the guests, and they were all guests in the upper room. And Jesus puts a towel around himself and starts washing their feet. And Peter's just a wonderful guy. I mean, I just love the guy. And he says, wait, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, well, if you have no part in this, then you have no part. And he says, okay, wash me all. get behind my ears. You know, you can almost imagine him saying, okay, if you're going to do it, let's get it all done, and that type of thing. Jesus really continued to show him, be servant, be servant, be servant, be servant, be servant, be servant, be servant. And our actions ought to be exactly the same. You and I today, if we really want this church to grow, we must be submissive to what the Lord would have us to do. And sometimes that is contrary to what our normal thought patterns would be. So he says, be this way. Well, Philippians 2:7-8 says this, but made himself of no reputation, this is Jesus, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. This is what Jesus did. Jesus became obedient to the Father, even though it meant death. Now, by the way, as God, death is kind of a strange ideal, because God doesn't die. So this being, this body that he took on was going to die. This is totally different. God asked him to do it, and he said, okay, I'll do it. I'm going to be submissive to you. If we have this idea that we're supposed to be submissive, and he says, therefore, submit yourselves one to another, and then he says, in the fear of God. Now, that's probably the key. We don't, for example, I've had plenty of counseling sessions with husbands and wives, and every now and then I'll fall upon somebody where the husband says, I am the husband, I am the man of the house, and so therefore my wife should do everything I tell her to do. And I say, we got a problem. We have a big problem. So let's start this whole thing over. You're to be submissive to God. You're to be submissive to your husband. It's God's plan. It's God's rule. This is what we do. Whether we like it or not, this is God's plan, submission. So in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22, he says, therefore, wives. So he starts out with the wife. Now, why? I have no idea. Can it be because when Satan went to the garden and he says, okay, I'm going to deceive one of them, he started with the wife first? I have no idea. I've heard all sorts of preachings on this, and I'll be honest with you, none of them make much sense to me. But anyhow, he starts out with the wife and he said, wives. He said, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Now, by the way, who said this? Oh, yeah, I know. Paul wrote it, okay. But who said this? God said this. The Holy Spirit told Paul, write this. This is God's writing. This is God's word. So therefore, he's saying, wives, submit yourself. Now, if you don't like that, that's okay. Take it up with God. I'm okay with that. He says, wives, be submissive unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Okay, now that makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it? I mean, what do I want to be to the Lord? Well, I want to be, do I want to be telling the Lord, this is how it is? This is how you do it, Lord? You know, sometimes we pray that way, don't we? But anyhow, this is how it's supposed to be, or are we supposed to be submissive to God, to the Lord? And he says, if you're supposed to be submissive to me, then be submissive to me and be submissive to your husband. Line in under, whatever that may be. And he's going to explain that here in just a minute. So a wife, submit yourself. Specifically, this is the wife of a husband. So can we get that? This is a woman who is a wife to a husband. We're all okay there? That's what it says. Marriage in the beginning, for example, in Genesis, we find that in the New Testament always makes the same type of agreement, if you will, that marriage is a man and a woman. I've already said that, but I want to say it again. Marriage is a man and a woman. And in my notes here, I said always. Always. Let's don't get that confused. Just because the world wants to say it doesn't make it right. We should say, no, there's one thing here that God ordained. I entered into this discussion in this passage, I'll tell you, with trepidation, with knees knocking and nervous because we don't like this. And wives, they never like being picked on first. I've never found that. I always wished that they started with the man first and we could get over this. But, you know, it always starts out with wives that said, be submissive to your husband. There are three things that I want to say about this. Number one is the Bible teaches that God set the order in a marriage. He's the one who did it. I didn't do it. No pastor's done it. This is what God said. God said, this is the order in marriage. Number two is there's always been a terrible misunderstanding in the church. And I'll say this, and I mean it in a general nature here. There's been a misunderstanding of this. I've been in churches where me man, you woman, you submit to me. Everything I tell you to do, you got to do. And not only do it, but you got to do it now, and you have to do it the way I like it. I've been in a church like that. And I will tell you that that is a total misinterpretation of what God has here. Third, the reason that submission is such a hot topic is because the opposite of what we're taught today. Today's society is not teaching that. Matter of fact, if God really wanted to destroy it, we can not only just look at, if you will, divorce and homosexuality, but there's a whole other thing now. There is the women's movement. Now, by the way, please don't get mad at me, but there's a women's movement out there that says, okay, we want to be independent. Well, I can tell you that's not God's plan. It was never God's plan. God's plan is that a husband and wife come together, they're one, they replenish the earth, they have children. That's his plan. And in order to do that, he is a God of order, and he has an order that he's setting this down. Never, however, is a wife to be submissive to the husband if the husband's going to tell her to do something that's opposite of what God's will is. Never. I want to make sure everybody understands that. I heard a man tell his wife one time some things, and after he told her that, then I just said, hey, and I pulled him to the side, and I said, I got to be honest with you. You know, you are not being submissive to God right now. And he said, what are you talking about? And so I had a discussion with him about how he was talking to his wife, and the things that he told her to do was opposite of what God would have wanted. you just have to take my word on that. Anyhow, he had a really hard time with that. He said, no, the Bible clearly says that she's supposed to be submissive to me. And I said, oh, really? Are you being submissive to God? And if so, are you really following then the next portion of Scripture where it talks about men, do you love your wife enough to die for her? It doesn't sound to me like you're that way at all. It sounds to me like you are me, big boy, and she's my wife, and she's under my foot, and that's basically his opinion. He says, you need to do what I tell you to do. Well, that's not what this mission is here. This is the order that God has set up for a wife and a husband so that they can fully develop into the relationship and into the marriage that God would have them to do. And it's not easy. Thirdly, this mission is such a hot topic because Satan doesn't want any part of it. And if he doesn't want it, he's going to consistently bring up things for mankind then to be against it, whatever it may be. And we see that all the time. Whatever Satan is fighting against, the hordes come together, the general populace comes together, and they start accepting it. And acceptation doesn't mean it's right. Just because we accept something doesn't mean it's right. In today's society, we have the view of the single person being more important than the whole, and our society has greatly changed in that way. Normally, it was the greater good of the whole than we see. And I see this consistently in those folks who say, and they raise their hands and they say, I'll go into the service, I'll become a policeman, I'll become a fireman, I'll do that because the greater good. And I see in those folks, that's why my heart is so enlarged, if you will, for military, especially in this area. I'm so thankful that we have so many military folks here. But they raise their hand and say, I'll serve. And boy, wouldn't it be great if we had the same thing happen in the church and we all say, I'll serve. Just tell me what to do. I'll serve. Train me. I'll serve. I'll do whatever you have for me to do. And that's exactly what this whole submission thing is. I will fall under the leadership of my husband in this particular case. So, as we look at this, John Phillips, in his translation, he says these words. He says, standing alone, this verse seems arbitrary and unfair. No verse of Scripture stands alone. This verse is preceded by the command that we submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. What a pity that preachers so often ignore this context when beginning the topical series of messages on husband and wife relationships. The context includes not only the Holy Spirit's instruction for mutual submission, but also his teaching about the Holy Spirit's infilling, the blessed oil that makes the machinery of the marriage run smoothly. That's by John Phillips. I like that translation there, if you will. I like his commentary on that because it really talks about if everybody's doing the job, if we're submitting unto the Lord, both the husband and the wife is submitting unto the Lord, and the wife is submitting unto the husband's leadership, then it operates smoothly. But when one of them subjugates it that way, if you will, they say, I'm not going to do that, then all of a sudden we have trouble in the marriage. When we have a husband take a role of submission to the wife, we have trouble in marriage. When we have a husband that his idea of submission is not correct according to the Word of God, we have trouble. We have trouble, we have trouble, we have trouble. So how do we correct that? Well, he's going to talk about that. In Ephesians chapter 21, chapter 5, verses 21 through 29, submit and love are the foundation then of marriage. So if I would go ahead and jump quickly to the man, it's really interesting here, guys, because not here do I have here that the woman is supposed to love the man. But I do have, man, you're supposed to love your wife. Why he wrote that, I don't know. But it is interesting. So he says, 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So if the man would be submissive to God the Father through Jesus Christ, then guess what? He's not going to do evil things to his wife. And it's going to be easy then for that wife to follow him. It's going to be easy for that wife to be submissive to him. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Again, wives, be submissive, and there's a reason for that. If you're submissive, then you can win your husband. Now, whether this means salvation or other things, I'm not really quite sure because this is kind of taken out of context. But if you put it within the context, it's really talking about if you'll be submissive, then God can use you in a number of ways that he can't use you if you're not being submissive. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as is fit in the Lord. And Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, to be discreet, this is talking about wives, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So there's a purpose for this submission. The happiest marriages I've ever seen is when the man is totally submitted unto God and the wife is totally submitted unto the leadership of the husband, and that marriage grows. I've seen it happen over and over and over. And in both cases, there must be submission. Albert Barnes comments on this, and he says this, and particularly husband authority over the wife. In everything, except that which relates to the conscience and religion, he has authority. Now, this is what Albert Barnes says. But there is authority, but there his authority ceases. He has no right to require her to commit to an act of dishonesty, to connive at wrongdoing, to visit a place of amusement which her conscience tells her is wrong, nor has the right to interfere with the proper discharge of her religious duties. He has no right to forbid her to go to church at the proper and usual time or to make a profession of religion when she pleases. He has no right to forbid her endeavoring to exercise a religious influence over her children or to endeavor to lead them to God. She is bound to obey God rather than any man. When even the husband interferes in such cases and attempts to control her, he steps beyond his proper bounds and evades the prerogative of God, and his authority ceases to be binding. So this really identifies the authority that the husband then should have when it comes to the submission of the wife. It becomes clearer and clearer as we understand this that it is a simple thing. It is not under my boot heel, the submission. If she's submitting to God, as she submits to her husband, and the husband is submitting to God, that is the proper order that God has in here, as unto the Lord. So therefore, the wife should submit herself not only to her husband, but also unto the Lord. Really should be backwards, shouldn't it? She should submit herself to the Lord, therefore being easier to submit unto, if you will, her husband. We're not going to finish this tonight, so I'm going to stop right there. So we only got through the introduction of this part. We're both supposed to be submissive one to another. So let's take that into consideration this week. Think about that. As brethren, let's submit ourselves one to another. Let's maybe not really push our agenda, but let's listen to somebody else's agenda. Let's listen to what is going on, and then let's greet each other, if you will, in the Lord, and let's be submissive then, and let's find out what the Lord may have for us. Number two is wives. Really look at this passage and say, okay, so if I'm going to be submissive unto the Lord, I can never be submissive to my husband if I'm not submissive to the Lord. It's not how we're made. The only way a wife can really be submissive to the husband, to fall in line under, if you will, is only if she is submissive to the Lord first. As we go on here, we'll talk about, therefore, the importance, because if, in fact, the husband is submissive unto the Lord, then he's going to love her in a way that is beyond normal love, which will make it easier then for the wife to be submissive. I don't know how in the world couples that argue and fight all the time, I don't know how they can ever get around then this point of being submissive unto the Lord. No wonder the relationships don't happen together. No wonder the relationships don't mix very well. Submission to the Lord is a requirement on both the husband and the wife. Wives, we'll get to the husbands. I promise you, we will get there. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight, and this is a tough subject. It's